credit card debt in the United States rose sharply in the second quarter of this year. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, this last year saw the biggest jump in the rate of credit card debt that we've seen in more than 20 years. New York Fed researchers say higher prices and inflation are part of the story, and rising interest rates could accelerate the growth of that debt. Today, we're getting some financial advice on how to pay down credit card debt and avoid building it up in the first place. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about dealing with credit card debt? Have you found yourself putting more expenses on credit cards, maybe as prices have gone up? Have your spending habits changed because of higher prices and inflation? Did you at some point in your life decide you need to get credit cards under control? What changes did you make? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Laura Reinholz is an instructor of practice at Marquette University's College of Business Administration, where she created and teaches the class Foundations of Personal Finance. She's been working in the financial services field for 10 years. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
What are some of the common reasons somebody might end up building up, you know, more credit card debt than they'd like to have?
Well, people build up credit card debt a lot of times because they're either not paying attention to what's going on or because something unexpected has happened. Perhaps unexpected medical bills, for instance.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's kind of a stealth credit creep going on, like if you always use your credit card to, say, fill up the gas tank or make regular purchases and those things go up and you keep doing it without really registering it, it seems like that could really sneak up on your monthly credit card bill.
Oh, absolutely. Years ago, when you went to McDonald's or any fast food restaurant, you would pay cash, right? Because they would not accept credit cards. One of the reasons that they started accepting credit cards is that people don't always pay attention to how much their actual bill is going to be at the end of the month because everything's all put in there together. So really paying attention to what we're spending our money on is going to be very important, and being cognizant that, yes, every time I'm filling up the gas tank, it's going to be a little bit more because of inflation. That certainly is something that we do need to consider.
Now, on a deeper level, what kind of things can we ask ourselves, I guess, about our money habits that that might solve some of these credit card problems down the road? What do we need to analyze in our money and credit behavior?
Okay, how much time do we have? Well, first of all, we have to think back to where we are. First of all, where are we right now? If we took a snapshot, how much money do we have in different accounts and how much money do we owe to different entities? So if I have money in the bank, how much do I actually have in my checking account, in my savings account? Do I have other assets available? And then what kind of debt do I have? Do I have credit cards? Do I have store cards? Do I have student loans? Do I have a car loan? Do I have a mortgage? What I really need to do is do an analysis and figure out how much do I owe for everything and what's the interest rate that I'm paying on these so I can have a strategy. But even going back further than this, we have to think about what was it like when we grew up? Did we talk about money at home? Did we spend money to make ourselves feel better? If we think back to our background and our experiences and our education, that can help us figure out why we're doing some of the things that we're doing now. And we might say, this is a good thing. Or you might say, oh my goodness, you know, this is what it was like growing up. I wanted be somewhere different. So we need to figure out where we are from a financial standpoint and also from a behavioral standpoint in order to determine what kind of steps we can take going forward. And then we need a plan as well.
And I think a lot of people might have an experience where you don't talk about money issues with people, and maybe you don't even talk about them that much with your spouse, or gosh, it seems complicated and scary. I don't even want to think about the money stuff. How can we overcome some of those hesitations in the first place?
That's a really good question. How do we overcome some of the discussions about money? First of all, just educate ourselves. And that could be something as simple as doing some Google searches and using some of the good, pay attention to the sites you're going to, but pay attention to some of the information you can find online and learn about different things. Do a little bit of research and find out what different kind of credit cards are available. What are some things I should be looking for in a credit card? What are some pitfalls that I need to pay attention to? And there's some really good websites out there One is bankrate.com, and you can analyze different kinds of cards for that one. If you want to learn about some different financial things, you can go to finance.yahoo.com. Those are just a couple basic ones. If you want to do more, just dig a little bit deeper and look at things like the Wall Street Journal. So there are a lot of different resources that you can either subscribe to, or you can probably also get at your local library as well.
We are talking about credit card debt with Laura Reinholz with Marquette University's College of Business Administration. She teaches a class, created the class called Foundations of Personal Finance. You can join in with your experiences, your questions, 800-642-1234. Are you one of the apparently many Americans who saw credit card debt creeping up earlier this year? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a question. So I've been out of the country since I was like 18. And upon coming back, I wanted to get a credit card, but the bank won't let me get one because essentially I've been off the grid. And I was just wondering what my credit score would be. I don't have any debt. I really had no bills in the U.S. I've been kind of off the grid. I'm wondering if my credit score would be zero or what number it would fall on.
And
that's,
Jack,
that's my question.
I should ask just to get a time scale. You said since you were 18, about how many years has that been?
About 6 years.
Okay. Jack, thanks a lot for that call. A unique situation, maybe, Laura, but Jack is apparently invisible in some ways to credit card companies he wants to get a card from.
And that is a really challenging thing. Jack, you are right along with other people who choose to not use any kind of credit, and they're not going to have a good credit score either. So some different things you can do. If you're back in the States right now?
He hung up, but
oh,
yes,
okay.
we'll assume
okay.
He is back here and trying to get this rolling, yeah. Okay.
If he's back in the States, he can start trying to get some different types of credit. First of all, if he's paying an electric bill, that is one thing that will show up on a credit report. And then he can try to pull up some other things as well. Having different types of entities will allow him to build a credit score. I'm not going to say that his credit score is going to be zero. They actually don't go down to zero. But in order to have a good credit report, you need to actually have some credit, kind of like you need experience to get the job, but you need the experience to get the job. One of those things. But there are a couple of resources that are available for you to look at, for anybody who wants to look at what their credit score is or their credit report. One is myfico.com, M-Y-F-I-C-O, for myfairisaac.com. You can look at what goes into creating the credit score, because scores can go from, I think it's three, I'm not 100% certain on the bottom, but about 350 up to about 850 points. And you want to be well above 700, probably 720 up to 850 to get the best rate for any kind of loan or credit card. If your rate is a little bit lower, if your number is going to be lower, then your rate is going to be higher and it's going to cost you more money. So myfico.com can educate you with different things, and you can also see what your score is going to be. Of course, you can also buy into certain things, but there's a lot of free information there. The other resource that's really important and is also a free resource is annualcreditreport.com. I'll say it again, annualcreditreport.com. And this is where you can check what kind of history you have for your own credit. And you'll see a green light, a yellow light, or a red light based on if you're doing the right thing or if you've had some late payments. And if there are any errors, of course, you can try to get those taken care of as well. That is a truly free resource sponsored by the federal government. And you can get your credit report from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And you can do each one of those at least once per year. So you can check up to see how things are in order to make sure that your credit score is going to be what you want it to be. But being out of the country, not having the history, makes it a little bit challenging to start with that high credit score. You're going to have to build it up just by taking some actions.
Thanks for that call and good luck. Rebecca is with us now in Madison. Rebecca, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk briefly about budgeting apps, because those have been super helpful for me just across the board with my finances, but especially with credit cards. There was a time when I had a lot of credit card debt and I swore that I would never get them again. But I've actually been able to pay it off. And one of the reasons is having a budgeting app, because you can link all of your different cards, all of your accounts. And so a credit card isn't kind of this mysterious black hole where you feel like you're getting free money and you're not really seeing it come out of your budget. So I just wanted to throw out that tip that's been really helpful for me.
And Rebecca, if you want to name a name, do you have a budgeting app that's worked for you?
Yeah, I use Mint just because it's free, but I think there's a lot of other good free ones that are out there.
Thanks for that, Rebecca. Laura, any thoughts on budgeting apps on the market now?
I agree completely with Rebecca. There are some very good tools out there. The one that I'm most familiar with is Mint.com, or if you're old school, Quicken.com is a good way to track everything. Even if you don't have an app, there are ways that you can track how you're spending your money, and just that awareness can really help. Excuse me. In the class that I teach at Marquette, on the first day of class, I have the students start tracking all of their spending, all of the money. What did they spend it on? How did they pay for it? How much did it cost? What was the date? And the most important thing was, why did they spend it? If everybody was going to Starbucks and they just went along and they bought something from Starbucks, you know, the reason would be I was hanging out with my friends and everybody else was doing it. If they went to Starbucks because they had no other way to get some food, they were starving and they needed lunch, that's a different reason. Then follow that for a while and then take a look at your reasons why you're spending your money. And that can help you, along with those budgeting apps, to figure out what changes can I make? What do I feel comfortable sacrificing in order to reach my longer term goals? And that, you know, having a long-term goal is also going to be incredibly important. If I'm just thinking, well, I'm making money, I'm spending money, you're just going to get yourself on that hamster wheel going round and round. But if you say, I want to work toward this item, I want to buy some new furniture, I want to get a down payment for a home, I want to buy a different car in 2 years, start taking those little steps now, and you're going to be able to reach those goals later on.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about credit card debt with financial advisor and Marquette University instructor Laura Reinholz, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your philosophy towards credit cards? What do you use them for? What do you try not to use them for? How do you handle credit card debt? Do you need advice or suggestions on how to manage it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Laura Reinholz, instructor at Marquette University's Business School and a financial advisor, with us today to help us manage credit card debt as borrowing goes up across the country, according to the New York Federal Reserve. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Did your monthly credit card bills get bigger over the course of this year? Have you made changes in your life at some point to bring down your use of credit cards? Get them under control. What questions, what experiences, what advice do you want to share? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Milt is with us in Madison. Milt, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, hey, great topic. Laura, I have a couple points, and I'll just rattle them off and you can respond. First, I don't think that there's any coincidence that with the rise in inflation, we have a rise in credit card debt. So people obviously are finding themselves stretched and are going to the credit card. And then the next thing I'd like to mention real quick is with the credit card, there is some tricks to managing your credit card and to knowing your billing cycle that I have found. Knowing what your billing cycle is, you can try and catch your payments that you need to make them after the last day of the billing cycle to get the extra 30 days or so of...
Milt, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. We touched on inflation briefly, Laura, but are there ways to sort of game the billing cycle, as Milt is suggesting? Are you there, Laura? We're talking to Laura Reinholz, instructor at Marquette University's Business School and financial advisor. I think I heard Laura in the background there. We'll see if we can get her back. In the meantime, you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about credit. or your experiences trying to get it under control. Maybe you used a budget app yourself to get your spending under control at some point in your life. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Looks like we don't have our guest back quite yet. Coming up in just a bit, we'll look at the end of the long-running Gableman probe of elections here in Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss appointed him to look at the 2020 presidential election outcome, how that election was managed, and then just recently ended that probe. We'll find out what was going on there and invite you to join in. In the meantime, we are looking to get our guest back as we talk about credit card debt. Let's see if we've got people with advice to share here while we wait for a guest. If there's questions, I can't really answer those, can I? How about Bruce in Cable? Let's bring on Bruce. There we are. Bruce, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share the fact that I'm 78 years old, and when I was about my late 20s, early 30s, I was traveled for a pharmaceutical company, and I was a credit card abuser. I ran up a really high credit card bill, and I was going to never use credit cards again. I was going to cut them up, and my dad said, don't do that. He said, use credit as a tool. He said, pay it off at the end of the month, and no matter what, just don't carry a balance. And I did that. That's 50-some years ago, and 47 years ago. And I've never paid a nickel's interest or late charge on any credit card, and I run a business, so I average $3,000 a month, but it's always paid off no matter what.
Bruce, thanks a lot for sharing that story. I appreciate it. Laura, I think we've got you back now. I like that Bruce took advice from his dad. You know, it's not evil, but use it as a tool.
Absolutely. There actually can be some great benefits to using credit cards, and some of them are the convenience, because then you can just pay it off at the end of the month instead of having to write a lot of checks or use your debit card and try to track it as much. But there also can be some rewards. If you're constantly using your card, not constantly, but if you're using your card quite a bit, you can actually get more miles or rewards or different types of points or pennies back, which you can then use to help you help reach other goals. Or you can say, this is my funny money, I'm going to take it on vacation. There are some other benefits to credit card usage as well. If I'm buying something on a credit card and there's a problem with it, I may even have an extended warranty. So it's not all bad. If we are going to pay it off each month, it's going to be actually a really good way to track everything. The idea is to make sure that we do have the discipline in order to pay it off each month.
Thanks for that call. Joshua joins us now in Stevens Point. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I'm kind of running off what that gentleman just said. I got two kids and I'm working class, and I have about $20,000 in credit, available credit, but I put all my bills and everything on my credit cards every month on reoccurring. Because I get the rewards. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for so long and paying off every balance that I actually went on my honeymoon pretty much for free because of all the rewards. And I pay the balance off every month. Yeah, but it kind of gets me into trouble because then I'm kind of cash poor sometimes at the end of every month.
And oh,
I'm trying to I'm trying to reassess my budget right now, and I got a lot of help doing that. But I'm kind of going through a struggle because sometimes they can get away from me.
Gotcha. Joshua, thanks for sharing that, Laura. Any thoughts for Joshua?
First of all, congratulations on paying off your bill each month, and congratulations on paying for your honeymoon using the different points. So I think that's fantastic. It's good that you recognize that you feel cash poor at the end of the month. So that I would think you might want to take a step back and ask yourself, am I spending the way that I really want to be spending, or am I spending more? Are there ways that I can cut back so that I don't feel so cash poor at the end of the month? One other thing, too, you said that you have about $20,000 of available credit. One of the items that's important when looking at your credit score, which, remember, will help determine what your interest rates will be, is how much you're using of your available credit. So if you have a $20,000 available credit, if you're using $1,000 or $2,000 per month, you have about a 10% 5 or 10% usage of your capacity. But if you're closer to $10,000 a month, for instance, then you're at about 50%. That's too high. So you want to think about how much you have compared to your overall credit that's available. And actually, going back to the previous call with Bruce, don't close down your credit cards. Just stop using them, because the history is another item that comes through on your credit report.
Joshua, thanks a lot for that call. We have just under a minute left. Laura, you want to leave us with a bit of inspiration for confronting a credit problem if we have one?
I think that identifying a challenge is the most important thing, and then thinking about what steps you can take for yourself, thinking about your long-term goals. What do you really want to do? And that's going to help you be able to get to what you need to do.
Laura, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I hope that everyone was able to get at least one or two little tidbits that they can use.
I imagine so. That's Laura Reinholz, instructor of practice at Marquette University's College of Business Administration, where she teaches the foundation of personal finance. She was with us today to look at a nationwide rise in credit card debt and how we can keep that debt under control.